What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Phoenix Aurora, and with me today is Mr. Corey Edmund Endrelot.
So I call myself an abolitionist. The summit is called the End of Slavery Summit. So you could consider it an abolitionist summit. It's of course on a website that I host for the abolitionist movement. But basically, it's just the whole idea is, you know, ending slavery. That's what abolitionism stands for.
All right, sounds good. He is also an author, a health coach. You're also a teacher of natural law. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I am, and have my own perspectives on that. Of course, there's people who say, "Oh, I'm a natural law legal theory expert." Then you have people who say, "Hey, I teach natural law, spiritual, eternal, cosmic law." You know, and I sort of look at all these worldviews, and I just see, "Hey, well, it's not man's law." That's what I know. that's for sure.
So even within the sphere of natural law, as with most other spheres, there's even smaller little delineations between that philosophy. I love it. Excellent.
Right. But as long as we understand, of course, the general basis, right, of what man's law is, what natural law is not, then, you know, the area of which we can contend is, of course, right? That's how you expand consciousness. That's how you open, away from that square where you enclosed into your mind. No, we need to constantly be improving upon ourselves. Like, no, this definition of a right is not right. There needs to be a better definition, even if we think it's right now. 100 years from now, when we evolve, you know, we need to always continually evolve. But that being said, you know, it's
I don't want to go off too far, but do you think that like a right is something like the concept of a right is something that can evolve with humanity and its utility, I guess?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the concept of a right, Mark Passio looks at it as something that constitutes a form of property, but also something that constitutes an action. And I think that dynamic is very important because you're going to see that, transitioning over the ages. And the reason why I say that is because I define a right as simply that which doesn't violate nature. And, you know, some people will go into morality and not just apply it to actions. Some people will apply it to what you eat, right? Like, is this something that's good for me to eat or is it something that's bad? And other forms of behavior that don't involve two people, but involve yourself, where it may involve vices and other things. And so that's where you can extend the past morality and you start to have an even bigger open mind and worldview, where that worldview is still true. It was just expanded upon.
All right. Awesome. And so a lot of these concepts and ideas are going to be expanded on even more over the next, is it 3 days or 4 days?
The summit?
Yes, the summit.
Yeah, actually, about 17 days.
17 days. Holy cow.
Yes.
I was not aware.
There's going to be three speakers each day about so. About four resources each day as well, which like involve like full out textual books and documentaries or what have you. And then as well as like four or so videos every single day, and not to overload people, it's already quite a lot because some of these videos, you know, reach like 1 hour each. Some of these documentaries, several hours long, and some people don't always like to read. So some people can watch, they can listen, they can watch or listen to anyone during each time of the day. So like, it's all very customizable. You know, some summits and conferences, they have a listed schedule of certain people at certain times. It's a live stream. I wanted to set it up so that way people can choose what they want to do at any time during each day. Right. And as well as have a live stream, as well as have replays, as well as have in every format. So that was my goal with this, is to bring people together and bring the knowledge to a wider audience and have it out there for the future audience.
Cool. Well, we'll get into all of the speakers. I want to first touch on a little bit about who you are and introduce you to the audience. Where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, so I'm from Pennsylvania. So not the same area where Mark Passio is, if that's the first thought that comes to some people's minds, because we talked about natural law. He's from Philadelphia, so that's about southeast Pennsylvania. I'm more northeast Pennsylvania, closer to New York. And I am very much country inspired because of that. You know, I'm not in the city. So a lot of my ideas and the whole message of nature is the answer sort of carried with that, sort of just my environment and my experiences over time, seeing the civilized industrial modern world and its conflicts with humankind, essentially.
Cool. So what was your red pill moment? Did you always grow up as, you know, did you have libertarian or anarchist parents? What was your moment of coming to realization that, you know, we're all slaves on this planet?
That was a continual process of asking questions myself, you know, talk about consciousness and improving ourselves as humanity. Well, we had to do that on an individual level first. And as an individual, I realized I was an individual. And I think that's the key point there is, you know, we grow up into a world, you have certain ideas, identities and things, and you pull yourself toward those. And as a kid, you know, you're especially vulnerable to what is taught to you at a very young age. And so being able to see and recondition yourself or uncondition yourself from that system is a process, and it takes time. And all I did simply was ask myself many questions. I would actually run simulations through my head. I would do a lot of journaling. And through that process of simulations of interactions and observations of the exterior world and opening the mind, ultimately having times of reflection and isolation and within nature, allows you to see a bigger picture, which a lot of people who are consumed in the consumerism will not see.
What was the very yeah. first thing, though, that like popped out of your mind? Like, were you like, I assume you were always a very curious individual.
Yeah.
Someone that, you know, constantly questioned his surroundings and morality. So
the first
and whatnot,
thing I questioned.
What was the first pop?
Yeah, the first thing I questioned, well, love was always a big theme throughout my life, and you know, I think it's for a lot of people, but that one is more so, I guess you could say, connected. But I would say the thing that really brought me to a lot of this knowledge and what I share today is not just the drive of love that brings you there, but really it started with ingredient lists, reading ingredient lists on food products. So that's what got me into health. I looked at these ingredients. I'm like, what are all these words on these packages? And they're on every single package. And how come nobody's looking at them? And I was like, okay, well, if I start to learn about each one of these ingredients using the internet, which is like the tools at my fingertips, well, I would have this knowledge that no one else has. And that would allow me to find out things that are happening. And once I started looking at these ingredients and finding out cancer and all sorts of things that are connected with certain ingredients, I'm like, how come no one's looking at this? And then, you know, from there, I kept asking more questions. And then I delved into nutrition after. And I think ingredients are always more important to look into, because that is what ultimately constitutes what the nutrition will be. You know, you can look at just clean food products, and that makes a big difference. Once I start eating clean, you don't get sick anymore. You don't get sick, period, ever. I mean, that's a big deal for some people, which I know there's a lot of people who get sick, like, what, every month or every 2 months or every season. And so even simple changes like that in lifestyle can make a big difference. And that probably affected my mind and how I was intaking information. I can't say how much it affected my ability to think and to perceive the world, but I'm sure it has some impact.
How old do you think you were when you started getting into that?
I started researching around 11 and journaling as well. And 13, I'd say. I mean, it's kind of rough, probably 11 to 13 or so, and continued along that process of health education till about 16. And I say till, it's obviously still continuing, but it's more so I shifted priorities in a sense at 16. And keep in mind, I was born in 2000. So you follow my year of age with the years of 2000, right? So if it's 2016, I'm 16. Right? Mm-hmm. So 2016 is when the election happened with Trump and Hillary and all these people. And I knew Trump basically inside and out. I knew this guy, his lifestyle, my dad claims to work for him. Like, I knew all these people who were, you know, really close to him. I had his water bottle, I had his shirt, I had everything under the sun from this guy. I knew everything about him. I was able to debunk every mainstream claim about him that was saying, oh, look at him doing this and doing that. And I was becoming more of that Republican conservative that was like, man, the left is out to get us and they're out to steal everything. And it's, I fell right into that script and I saw everything. And I feel like people today are starting to come to the realization that I had to go through in 2016. But then once I kept evolving past that stage, which I think a lot of people might have a hard time doing, then I started to see a bigger picture. You know, once you get out of that bubble, which that box, it's you start to see it's like, no, politics is not actually what I'm after. If I'm after truth, then politics is not what I'm after. I'm after philosophy. I'm after, you know, intellectual, moral, spiritual ideas, which extends way past politics. And if anything, that's what invented politics. Politics basically stole ideas from philosophers and said, we can run with this and control others if we keep this knowledge for ourselves and we don't share with others, you know? So
sure. I mean, if you look back at Solon, you know, the philosopher kings, they're Aristotelian and Platonic.
Socrates was hung by his own, you know, government, all this. I mean, the philosophers seem like they've always been attacked in history and not a lot of them sought power. because they were seeking to understand the nature of power. They were studying the systems that be and trying to find solutions to those systems. The politicians were just there along for the ride saying, hey, could I get a paycheck? You know, like along with this knowledge, because that's what they did. You know, they got their funding from the people, mm-hmm. from which they essentially pillaged. And of course, there's a whole history behind that. And I don't know if you want me to go into that, but the point is that I found my way through to philosophy just from asking questions. I mean, the word philosophy means love of knowledge, right? So if you care about truth and you care about finding the truth, then you're going to continually ask questions. And like Socrates said, I mean, you can only make someone think, you know, and you come to know that you know nothing. And that's the recent conclusions I've come to. I mean, frankly, after observing so much in the world, is that it's not that you can't know anything. It's just that you can't know everything, or at least you can't proclaim to, because you need to be continually evolving, as we mentioned before. That gives you the drive of respect and humility to say, I need to always improve upon myself. There's always room for improvement, and I'm never set in my ways.
So how old were you when you first were exposed to like the concepts behind philosophy, you know, metaphysics, epistemology? When, like, because you're only 22 now at this point, which I think you're hugely ahead of a lot of people, especially from my generation. I'm kind of like a millennial Xer. I was 83. So I didn't get into this stuff until, you know, 26, 27, after I'd already joined the Marine Corps and was, yeah, I'll be a voluntary murderer. No worries. So like, how old were you when you first had a course on philosophy, or, and
I didn't
was
take
it like autodidactic or
okay? No, I didn't take any courses, and I just asked questions. I mean, I'm sorry that the answer is so simple, but I asked a lot of questions. I just kept journaling and I did my own self-reflection. If I wanted to teach myself something, I'd do my own research, because it was the tools in my fingertips. I was cyber schooled after being public schooled, so I had best of both worlds. I can see both of these worlds, and I can see that cyber school is going to be the future, and it's not going to be as good as when I was in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. When I was in it, you can choose your schedule, you can choose your teachers, you can choose your topics, you can choose everything. And my sister didn't even have to go to school once a week, and she can choose what she wants to do for the rest of the week. You know, I mean, so I was in cyber school. It wasn't as good as my sister, and now it's probably way worse than I was in when I was in cyber school. But it during that time, I had the internet at my hands. You know, I was able to use the internet freely. And so I did extra research. You know, I was reaffirming and connecting the dots, and kept looking through things, ran into independent media. That is where I started to wake up my mind a little bit more. You know, is I started to run into Food Babe and Natural News and some of the health side of the independent media. And that led me into more of the political side of independent media naturally, because it was almost inevitable to see that when you have a health coaching practice, as I have, or when you deal with health, that you see that health is under attack, or at least natural medicine, to be specific. And you see that people aren't covered by insurance. Nutrition is not something doctors are taught. You see that natural medicinals are not patented. You see that it's just generally kept out of circulation, the knowledge that everybody should have. And that's what I had, the way I looked at it. I was like, wait, even if I don't do nutrition when I'm older, even if I don't, you know, become a doctor, as, because that was my original intention. I was like, I could become a naturopathic doctor possibly. Even if I don't do that, this knowledge is still essential, because the knowledge of how to heal yourself, or how to what nutrients are in your food, is something that everybody should know. You know, so then I start asking, like, well, why aren't the schools teaching that? You know, why are these governments imposing their will on doctors, not allowing them to use certain treatments? And it's like, you're almost inevitably going to run into one way or another, one form of slavery, where people are being controlled and against their will. You know, like, a doctor has a practice, he's able to heal so many people, he's got good intent, and people love him, and yet he's not able to give them the medicine that he wants to give them. It's like,
where do you think your curious nature came from? Did your parents really like encourage you to be inquisitive, or do you think it was just natural?
I don't think I can say in particular, but I would say that my parents brought me up with a moral background. And that moral background, I think, has a great tie with that, because if you have some sense of purpose or drive in your life, then the questions will follow naturally, as you especially see other people who act immorally or people who don't respect you. And, you know, I was very shy and throughout all my life. I never spoke to anyone. And all the time people would say, like, why are you so shy? And why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Now I'm the one who's going out there. And I see these people who are being quiet and not speaking up about what they probably should be speaking up about, you know, these important issues in the world. And I just find that very interesting, because I would never hold them accountable and be like, you're not speaking up. Like they did with me, you know, when sure. I was younger. But the thing is that I'm able to see that when you're more quiet and when you're more silent, when you're more present, you're able to observe more in your environment. And that's basically what allowed me to ask more questions, is just my observant nature. And then having a good family home life, of course, that is going to really build a strong foundation for everything, I believe, whether it's health or whether it's mental, moral development, etc. I mean, really, a family is something, sadly enough, I don't see anyone really has, and not anybody I know. At least, you know, especially at a later age in life, it's like, oh, they're already off. Oh, they're already married. Oh, they already have kids. Oh, like they're already here and there. It's like, wow, okay, I'm the same age as them, and they're already like doing all this stuff that I'm not doing. Because I'm very close with my parents, and they went around fooling around and doing all sorts of things, you know, and they got hurt in the process, and they had to go through all these experiences, and now they're trapped in the consumer world, and now they're trapped paying taxes and can't pay for this, can't pay for that. And they have a lack of a foundation where it's like so much happened in their life, and then they just lose control of it. I see this happen so often. I mean, there's so many layers to this, right? And I've talked to many people, and in high school, I saw very evidently that there were a lot of kids who were either depressed or had anxiety. And because I saw that in them, that, of course, made me ask even more questions. You know, it's like, why are kids feeling this way, especially in school? It's like school's making them feel worse most of the time. And, you know, how come, you know, I'm helping these kids, you know, sometimes outside of class, like with science or math or whatever. And it's unfortunate. It's like, I don't even have their contact anymore. It's like crazy. It's like you go to school with these people and then you never see them again for the rest of your life, you know, and the same thing with your teachers. It's like, frankly, I've come to understand that the real education is your parents, you know, and that is the foundation that I had. And I'm very grateful for that. But I think it's something that people need to definitely have if we want a better future, because that will set the tone for everything.
You know, there must be something in the water of Pennsylvania, because between yourself and Mark, you've got Richard Grove as well as Tony Myers. Like, there's just a lot of strong
hitters.
Oh yeah, absolutely, all of them. Yeah, there's something in the water. It's got to be.
Well, so, this is the Declaration of Independence state, and I always questioned that. I was like, how come natural law and a lot of these ideas sort of originate here or have always talked about here? I didn't always understand that, but I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to know the answer to a lot of your questions, but frankly, I asked those questions myself. I'm a small creator, right? But I have big visions, and that's the key, I think, is, you know, maybe Trump. So it says that too, you know, you got to think big, but it's true advice, right? Looking at the advice itself, it's like Washington said some true things. Jefferson said some true things. You know, some people, Hitler said some true things. It's like, oh gosh, but the people, you know, it's like people always look at them as the enemy, but their words and the things they did, which is why people were admiring them so much. And they got fooled into following them. I mean, there's something to learn from everything. There's truth found in everything. And so this summit has so much value in it, because these are people who have life experience a lot more than me, for a lot that has gone on. And that has provided me with a lot more, you know, inquisitive understandings of how the world operates as well. You know, studying consciousness is something that's like, wow, you know, you look into that field, and Ken Bartle and his works, and I interviewed him. I was just like fascinated the whole time. You know, he's written like 3 books on the subject already of consciousness and how it relates to natural law. I mean, it's amazing stuff. And I think that's where the future is heading, you know, is into more of the spiritual, moral topics, as I think it's sort of necessary for our development. Of course, we've always had spirituality within our evolution as humanity, but that usually came in the form of religion. And people are realizing now that religion is not the only source of spirituality. Of course, people were starting to realize that in the 1700s, in the 1800s, and it's just starting to continually head toward that way of, okay, wait, we don't need these institutions. We don't need a middleman between us and the creator, or us and nature. We can learn from nature directly and as to what to do.
So your site mentioned techniques to escape mental slavery. Can you give like a brief synopsis of some of the techniques that individuals can experience through the summit?
Yeah, so I've had people reach out to me too, like chiropractics. They're like, I'll show you muscle techniques of how to end slavery. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. It will basically allows your brain to relax and to intake more information and not be so enclosed, because we're dealing with a mental virus, as Mark Pascio calls it, or as Larkin Rose calls it, the most dangerous superstition, this thing called statism. So it's particularly that of which we're targeting here with this end of slavery summit. And a lot of people don't connect the dot between slavery and statism. And if you're new to that information, that's why this event is really, you know, world shattering and really able to open up the minds of so many people. When they really look into it, they look into any of these resources. I mean, it's such powerful stuff. I know people who I've interviewed, I mean, these are 50 plus people I interviewed, and they said from their personal experience, like, oh, I didn't expect to run into this information. I didn't expect to get into this or that. And, you know, it was this document that got me into it, reading Lysander Spooner, it was this, it was that. And I think this event can be one of those boom moments for a lot of people where they realize, wow, here's all this information that's been here all this time. And there's plenty of techniques, right? So the techniques include, you know, mental techniques in particular, self techniques, so self authority techniques. And what I mean by that is realizing that you control you and I control myself, right? So that's a process of understanding, a process of consciousness. And by simply having conversations, simply being open to it, I mean, you're already engaging in it. And then by expanding upon that, you are gaining a practice of it. So in the same thing with medicine, you know, it's like you start using these natural medicinals. You're like, what does this herb do? What does that herb do? And then soon you find out, wait, now I know what herb does what for what condition, etc. And I would say life itself is a practice. It's a test. It's something that we're all constantly always evolving and learning all the time. So the techniques, I don't think are particular. But I would say questions are a particular technique, because, you know, everybody's different. They're all going to learn different ways. That's why we have it set up the way it is, where there's many different ways of learning, and there's going to be recaps. There's going to be a newspaper project after. There's a radio project. We have like a bunch of things that I'm starting up, and it's all meant to reach different audiences and different points of view and different, you know, mindsets, because everybody's at a different point in their life. But if we could all understand, hey, slavery is wrong, we can do the exact same thing that happened in the 1800s, where a bunch of people came together from all sorts of different backgrounds, said, hey, slavery has to end. End it now. And same thing with the founding fathers in the 1700s. They said, hey, the British are taking over our lands. We need to get them out of here right now. And some of them are like, well, can we free our slaves too? And they're like, well, I mean, yeah, but we have to end the British enslaving us too. You know, it's like, so it's a process of consciousness that humanity has always been battling with, but we evolve further and further, especially when we have technology tools. So the technology aspect of it is huge. The ability to research, having that in my hands as a young individual, I mean, that I think is so powerful. I don't know who I would be without it, frankly, because it allowed me to ask more questions. Yeah, I probably could have kept asking questions within my own life, but with technology, I'm able to ask even more questions, and I'm able to find more information, so I can ask even more questions. And so I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have that mass archive. I mean, think about back then, people had to print everything by hand and write it out on ink. And then, oh my gosh, God forbid you lose the piece of paper. I mean, what, we had the library of, there was a famous library back then that got burnt down, if you know what I'm
Alexandria.
Talking about. Yeah, Alexandria. I mean, tons of works lost. I mean, but we have the internet now where we can archive things, we can replicate things, we can transform them into any format. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. And so many people need to realize this power is powerful if you use it for good. You know, so that's something I'm also encouraging, is people take the resources into their hands and they create change. So that's one of the techniques, is learning how to end slavery, because most people know what slavery is. Most people know, like, hey, it's being coerced against their will.
I mean, do they really?
They do. They don't apply it to politics. They understand what's right and wrong. They don't apply it to their own political worldview. They're in contradiction to themselves. And the way you know that is from asking questions. Candles in the Dark is a good example. Mm-hmm. Larkin Rose's Absolutely. Program of how to talk to statists. You find out, wait, these statists agree with me. How come they're statist? Well, they're not statist. They're just human beings. They're just like you and I. That's why.
They haven't had that wedge yet.
Different. Yeah, they just haven't realized that you know, they're separating themselves from mm-hmm. human beings. They're separating certain people from other human beings by giving them more rights than others, or by saying they're a special priest class, or they have more rights than others, that they can write, they have the right to rule over others, or have the right to enslave one another, etc. And so it's all the same concept all throughout history of this person has the authority to do this and this person does not have the authority. So it's not a hard thing to understand. It's just we've been in it for so long that we don't realize that we're contributing to it and we're born into it from like day one. But generally, because we learn a little bit about slavery in school, I think it provides a little bit of a foundation for a lot of people. And although I know it's mostly maybe race-based or strictly historically based, like, oh, it only happened in America, or it only happened to these certain people, I think obviously that could be expanded upon too. Generally, the moral picture, once that is added into the equation, people to start picking up onto it. They're not stupid. People are generally pretty smart nowadays. I mean, they may not want to look at certain things. They may be in denial. They may want to be ignorant, but it doesn't mean that they aren't, you know, smart, or they don't have the capacity to learn or the capacity to have knowledge. I think everybody has something to share. They just don't always share it. Sure. They're either afraid or they don't know how to approach it. And they're like, oh, well, maybe this ideology will be the best way to display my beliefs, or this ideology. They never think about creating their own. They never think about, you know, speaking online, sharing their thoughts. Who knows? Somebody might appreciate that. Somebody can take a lot of value out of that. And we underestimate those actions, but those actions are the ones that have created great change in history. The people who innovate and constantly ask questions about what is currently going on. That's innovation.
So, Corey, you seem to be a huge proponent, especially of the technical side and the autodidactic methods. Can you give the audience a few resources that you have used throughout your path towards enlightenment on the technical aspect? Like, Khan Academy, of course, is always available. You've got learnliberty.com. What are some of the your favorite sites that you've gone through to educate yourself with?
So I'm a very simple person. I like to stick with very simple tools. And there's a big reason why this is. And I think before we get into this, we have to talk about something important. And I took a little bit of notes before this because I just thought this was important. Like, if we're going to talk about content creation, number one, first and foremost, is people need to have a purpose or drive. If they have no purpose or drive, it doesn't matter how much you teach them technically. They may even have it all ready for them when they do have a purpose and drive. Sure. But that purpose and drive ultimately comes first. And I think that should be the most thing that is focused on. You know, what does somebody care about? How do they care about sharing it in the world? I did poetry on my channel. You know, I was doing songwriting. I was doing theater plays, you know, script writing. Like, do whatever makes you feel happy in this regards of content creation. Yes, there is an obligation to end slavery, and you know, it's a moral obligation, and you're going to see, wow, no one's doing it, so therefore, who's going to do it? It's got to be me. You're going to see that, but you still can't lose a sense of yourself, your own authenticity as to what you want to put out there. You don't want to be putting out something you don't want to put out, because then you're not going to have the passion or the drive, the motivation to keep doing it. You know, the reason why I'm always putting out new videos is because I'm actually in this. And I've been in, you know, have an active search for truth. And this is something that is sort of just part of me. And for certain people, you know, again, if they're consuming the current world or it's not right for them at this current moment, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it. Again, I say that the problem is ignorance and people not, you know, sharing what they know. I'm saying that people need to realize that before content creation comes purpose and comes that underlying drive. So I recommend that first and foremost, people find that for themselves. They sit back and really reflect as to what is it that they want to do. But yes, once you have that purpose and drive, I would say it would come naturally from there. Because once you understand your options and you see what's out there, then you will grab the option that suits best. So let's say you don't like talking to the camera because a lot of people are afraid of talking to the camera at first. It's like kind of weird. Like you're looking at yourself and hearing yourself. It's like, what is this? So maybe you start with some light podcast. Maybe you start with just some writing. Right. Maybe you do what I did. I actually got involved with theater and I got used to speaking in front of audiences, or you had a guild in World of Warcraft where you had to deal with thousands of people. I mean, this is stuff that prepared me for where I am. And I can't discount that. You know, I was a health coach, so I was talking with people. I was already asking them questions about their own health so they can heal themselves. Like I was already doing all that for different things that I would do now for sharing, you know, how we can abolish slavery. It's like with the average individual, you know, do you think violence is wrong? Okay. You know, if you understand that's wrong, can you delegate a right that you don't have to someone else or to a group of people or to millions of people calling themselves a government? You know, the right to commit violence. If you don't have the right to commit violence, how come they do? You know, simple questions. Oh, your health is bad. Okay, well, how did you sit on that couch? Did you have bad posture? Maybe that's the reason why you have back pain. You know, it's like, and I don't have to be the one to tell them that. They find it out for themselves. Like, oh, well, maybe it was this. Oh, maybe it was that. And just by asking questions. But sorry, I didn't mean to go off track. But you have to understand that the purpose and the mentality is really the driving factor here. And I would like to give specific resources, but I've never taken really a course on technology or how to do these things. It came naturally just through experimentation. I created websites when I was in high school. I've created one for math so students can learn algebra because I really was good at math and I wanted to teach other kids how to do math. So I thought about making my own math website. I made a guild website for my guild in World of Warcraft. Like all that taught me technical stuff. I created a gaming YouTube channel where I learned how to video edit. And do you think I was learning or do you think I was actually producing it because I cared about the game? I cared about the people I was involved with. I cared about what I was doing. I didn't think at all that I was learning, but I was learning part of the process. It's like playing the video game. It's like you're playing the game, but you're learning at the same time. You don't say, oh, I'm learning a video game. No, you say you're playing a video game. And that's because, you know, while you're in that immersion in that experience and you want to be there, you have the care and the ambition and drive to be there, everything else comes with it on its own. So that, I think, is the answer. And I know it's not an answer probably that you want, right, that's the answer.
That's not the one that's like, oh, well, here's these exact sites that I use to educate. Well, here's this. How did you learn to code or to build websites?
So I build websites using a website builder, right? I mean, there's nowadays you have simple drag and drop builders. I mean, really, if you look at your
options, I'm old man. I'm sitting here like asking like, what are these things? And it's like, no, you don't even need to do that. It's already been done for you. There's templates, just plug and play.
Right. Plug and play. That's it. And it's really simple. You know, you can find things low cost. I did my whole summit, guess what, for like $10.
Holy cow.
Okay, I bet there's people out there who are like, oh, you got to make sure you have this, got to make sure you have that. It's like, no, okay, you pay for the domain. You don't even have to pay for the domain if you don't want to. You could have it on a free website if you're really interested. The domain, though, is like, what, 3 years for like $10 or something? I don't know. It's like really, really inexpensive compared to like other things. And then I guess the only other thing we'd be paying for is like a mailing subscription, right, for the summit, because every time that somebody signs up for the summit, I have to email them so they can access each day. Well, okay, I don't have to pay for that either. Like MailerLite, they give you like up to 1,000 subscribers for free and up to 12 emails a month. So it's like, you can do that for free. I chose to pay anyways. And so it's like, I probably didn't even have to spend a cent. But yeah, it's honestly very efficient, and especially if you have good tech like this. So this is Klim, this company. I'm using the headset, my keyboard, my mouse, and this microphone. I'm not sponsored or anything, okay? This company's great, okay, because they're European based. I usually trust European products. I don't like American products, don't like Chinese products, all cheap, lame, bad. Anyways, okay. They're higher quality and low price, and that's great, and that's what I look for, right? It's like you don't need the best of the best. Like this is already stinking best. It's
fastest response rate or Klim?
Klim, so KLIM, right? Okay. I like the company, and they also like were super cool. They sent me like t-shirts and stuff because they know I'm like into stuff. Like they're actually pretty cool, and they sent me like free stuff all the time. Anyways, they probably don't want me saying that because then it's like, oh, someone's gonna ask them for free stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the nature of sponsorship. And if people use it and you advocate for it, hey, sure, here.
Yeah, talk about the free stuff. Sponsor, I mean,
that's how it works. That's capitalism.
Yeah, right.
That's the free market. Let's go with that.
Yeah, but other like resources, I mean, I can name specific brands. Like OBS is obviously something everybody uses for streaming and recording. Nowadays, like most YouTubers, most streamers all use OBS, and it's completely free. And it does everything you need. I've always used Bandicam. I bought that license like years ago when I did my gaming channel in like 2013. I bought that, and that was like a good lifetime investment, honestly, because then it saved all my videos, and it works really well. Bandicam, I like Bandicam, but I use OBS for other stuff. It depends. I think OBS can get a little messy and a little too overwhelming for people. Bandcamp might be simpler for people, and there might be some free alternatives out there. I haven't looked into that recently, but for chat, you know, I use Element. People are using Discord. People are using Skype still. I mean, I used Skype when I was, you know, 13 and 16, but like, I'm pretty sure people are getting off of Skype now. We're using Jitsi to talk to this.
Sure.
That's a Zoom alternative. You know, it's great. I use only Office for like for Word, for Excel, for presentations. Only Office is better than every Office program. Okay. I just want to put that out there. And I don't mean to be like, oh, it is the best, but it is. And it syncs to the cloud. It's better than Google. It's not Google. It's open source. It's like, it's totally free. Like all the stuff I'm mentioning is totally free. And yeah, I use Filmora for my video editor, right? And that is not technically free. I say technically, in quotes. And but Filmora is great because it's a very simple editor. Like probably the simplest one you're going to find out there. Like if somebody's completely new, use it. And I still use it. So guess what? I still use like some of the simplest tools out there. And to me, that's what, like, you don't need something crazy fancy. You know what? I like to be fancy, the thumbnails and the titles, which not a lot of people put a lot of effort in my opinion.
Sure.
So like I put a lot of effort into my titles and thumbnails because that's how people first get onto your video. And, you know, you could have a simple fade in effect, fade out for the video. You can make a little intro or outro. You have it forever. I have a whole video titled Tons of Resources. And I recommend people check this out because it has all the things I'm mentioning right now. And
now, yeah, what's the channel for that? Where can people find that?
Yeah, so my channel is Corey Nature is the Answer on pretty much every platform. And just look up the video Tons of Resources. You'll find it. It's also a video featured in the summit. So you'll find it in the summit, alongside many, 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 many other resources for pretty much everything you can think of, regarding, you know, ending slavery and what you can do to help that cause, which again is like not limited to content creation. So, if you have a passion or a drive for anything, which everybody has a passion or drive for something, then it's just a matter of how do you apply it in today's world? And there's always a way, you know, whether it's sending me an article, I'll turn it into a video for you. That's my next project, newspaper project. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And I recommend people check that out because that one is going to be reoccurring weekly. And it's going to be something that people look forward to every single week. It's something that we can get in people's hands in real life, not just online. And something that we can potentially hold politicians accountable for also, as also like probably the only educational news outlet out there on the internet right now that's also focused on real freedom. And aside from that, 24-hour truth music radio, which does not exist either on
I've been
this internet.
God, beautiful. I've been wanting that. I tried doing, like 3 years ago, I tried doing Anarchy Radio. It was 24/7 streaming. It wasn't 24. It was a streaming music station with just exclusively liberty-oriented musicians. And then I went on the road for 2 years after COVID hit. And started working with a few other individuals. We started Grand Theft World Liberty Radio with another student in the autonomy community. And that's been going pretty strong. And so James Jordan, he's over on Odyssey doing that. But a 24/7 streaming station, I've wanted to do that. What's your solution for hosting? Are you doing like Radionomy? Are you building your own widget? What are you doing for that?
Everything's simple with me. OBS, simple. You know, VLC, you have a computer running. That's how, you know, in the background, some computer that you have that you're not using and you just have it running. And that's it. It doesn't have to be 24/7 necessarily, but, you know, you can try to strive for, you know, a long period of time each day, preferably. It's just all about getting the message out there, right? At least the point is people got to start doing something. And if you start somewhere, eventually you're going to get up there and people are going to start recognizing you. You're going to make new connections. And I think active networking is also important. Well, two things, networking and leeching. Leeching is not something a lot of people talk about. But I learned this strategy from a Twitch streamer, Miskiff, who is one of my favorite Twitch streamers. And I know this is more of like a joke, but it's true. Nowadays, go on YouTube and look at all the React streamers, the React YouTubers, people just reacting to videos. Look at the people who are just basically taking other people's videos and just putting them in a compilation and stuff like that. I mean, basically, it's literally copying other people's content. But it helps with your traction. I'm not saying that people should do that, but what if
I don't believe in intellectual property anyway, so it's cool with me.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen anyways. But let's say people take clips from this interview or from other interviews, or they take clips from documentaries and they just start posting a clips channel. There's a lot of successful clips channels out there. This is something I suggest a lot of people doing. I'm not actively doing because it would take a lot of time and effort, but this is something so simple and you don't have to do a single thing except press a few buttons of clipping and post it on a channel. And you know, you're basically promoting other people, allowing them to get more coverage, allow them to have more audience while you also increase your audience. It's basically like a win-win-win-win-win, right? It's a full leeching scenario. And somebody's going to write a book about this, probably Miskiff himself one day, guarantee you. Okay, because this is a strategy that he used to get like become number one on Twitch like within 2 or 3 years. That in networking, right? So constantly connecting out, reaching different audiences. I do this all the time, at least to the best of my ability. And you're not going to be recognized if you're a small creator, of course. But there's going to be some people who might. You'd be surprised. Did I expect to get David Icke on my summit? Did I expect to get Lorcan Rose on my summit? Did I expect to get in Mark Passio's network? No. But if I didn't try, I wouldn't have even been here. Sure. You know? Speaking so you have them, to try.
So you guys have, there's loads of speakers here. You got like 40, or is it 40 or 50?
It's about 50, yeah.
50. So you've got everyone from David Icke to David Rodriguez. David Icke's talk is entitled Truth and Action, Slavery and Spirituality. David Rodriguez, he's giving a talk on how parents can free their children from enslavement. There's Dana Martin, Derek Brose, Larkin Rose, Helena Maria. Leslie Powers. With all of these heavy hitters, who are you most excited to hear talk?
Honestly, my favorite person that I interviewed, and I hate to have bias, but I'm going to be honest. I really liked meeting David Rodriguez because I didn't know the guy. He randomly showed up on Facebook one day, and I don't use social media. And he invited me to this voluntary village creators group, you know, where people can share their content. And I'm like, I started looking to him. I'm like, wow, you know, he speaks for this event, that event. He's involved with like homeschooling and a bunch of stuff. And I the minute he started talking, I can just tell he had that energy. That energy that I want to see in the world. And the reason why I say that is because it's the same energy that brought me into this whole mess. Trump in 2016 brought me into politics. And as unpopular as that, you know, is, you know, Trump or Hillary or politics, obviously I don't care about that anymore. The energy brought me in. That's what matters. The energy is what captivated me. And nowadays, especially if you want to reach young crowds, you want energy. Because, you know, not just because their attention span is only within 1 minute because it's TikTok, right? But it's mostly because they want to hear you like, hey, so now we got to talk about this. And oh, did he know you're enslaved? And oh, like, you know, they want it thrown in their face. I mean, because that's what they want, fast, like to the point information. And they're not willing to sit through hours long in information, although I produce like 10 hour long seminars. But, you know, it's there for the people who want it. That's the point. I produce all sorts of different things for different audiences, for different people. And people can look at any point in time, including way past my time. Like, think about it. I mean, it's literally there forever. So, and backed up in some server somewhere forever, at least, you know, if something happens one place or another, it's, and you can back it up yourself, you know, using a hard drive. You absolutely should. But yeah, there's just so much potential. And I loved listening to David Rodriguez, but I really liked talking to everybody, honestly, and connecting with them, because there was a lot of people from the network that I did not talk to or meet like individually or get to hear about their experiences. And this allowed me to really like understand who they are as an individual, their personal experiences and how they got to where they are. And, you know, it's not all the same. Like, we all didn't come through the same background. Like, some people had a very bad family life. Some people went through drugs and hardship. And some people went through, like, perfect life, you know, farm and having everything natural, which I certainly have not. You know, I don't have, if my message is nature is the answer, I could look at Will Keller and his background. I'm like, holy moly, this guy, you know, was raised up on a farm and had all this stuff. It's like, incredible, right? David Icke, he got shamed on TV in the 60s after becoming a sports broadcaster. You know, Larkin Rose, he became like a tax evasion person. Everybody thinks he's just after taxes. Like, no, but everybody has a different background. Mark Passio got involved with Satanism. I mean, like, literally, you're reaching for like across the world at that point. You know, I talked to Stephen Maggar. He's from Israel. I talked to, you know, Hannah Maria. I think she's from like Europe. And I mean, everywhere. all the time, like so many different experiences, but we all come to the same conclusions, which is that slavery still exists, and it exists through political slavery, as Lysander Spooner said several times throughout his writings. Mm-hmm.
So how did you, how long did it take you to assemble this cadre of Liberty's Avengers, for lack of a better word? I know you said you had started sending out emails about a year ago. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I actually looked at the date last night because I was actually curious myself. about 6 months ago, I started promoting, like, hey, you can be a speaker. And basically, like, the title of the video is Become a Speaker for My Freedom Event, something like that. It's literally a video. And then I create another video like 2 months after that says, hey, reminder, you can be a speaker. And then I kept emailing people back and forth. I was getting in touch with my co-host and saying, hey, you know, we got these different dates set up, make sure we can get this going. And just constant persistence. I mean, you need this sometimes, especially for people who are online or across the world and people who don't always check their emails. I mean, you have to be on your game. You have to have a list. I have a contact list. And, you know, it sounds difficult. It sounds difficult. It looks like what I did maybe is difficult times, but honestly, it's really stinking simple. You just have a folder on your computer. You know, you have a person's name per folder. You know, you put their talks in there. You put whatever they provide you in that folder. Then on the side, you have a contact list, which you put in like an Excel document. And Only Office, I think they call it something different, like a spreadsheet or something, or calc. Yeah, I think they call it calc or something like that. But basically, you know, it's just a sheet that has names and email addresses. And then you could write, you know, did I upload this video? Yes. Is this one done editing? Yes. You know, and that way you can keep track of everything. I take tons of notes. I have notes everywhere. I mean, literally, notes all over my desk and notes on the computer and tons of ideas that I can't do because there's so many ideas and so many things that people can do. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize they can do, but there's so much potential with this information that we have. And so there's always like, basically I have endless content. Like forever. And even if I were to just take what I have now, like all these talks that I gathered, if I were to just clip them into 1 minute or 3 minute segments, I'd basically have content for like from now to like next 3 years. You know, like I can just based on what I already have, I can just keep clipping it like every single day for the next 3 years. I mean, that's literally what we're talking about. So, you know, or I can create something new, but it's pointless to say the idea is that you can do something, and whether it's the smallest little thing or reposting or sharing, is always something somebody can do. And there's no reason, honestly, I see no excuse why people cannot do it unless they just have absolutely no drive, no passion. They don't care about it. But then why are you watching this? If you care about truth and you care about freedom and you've come across this, then you're already at the point of stage where it's like, wow, I need to do something.
Absolutely. Were is all of the speakers from the One Great Work Network, or were you able to like get and how many? Like, how's that work out? Because I'm aware of Mark's work. I'm aware of the network. I think I've gotten up to like 38 or 39 of his. You know, What on Earth is Happening, which, you know, you're supposed to start at the beginning and work your way through because it's kind of sequential. But I'm not super familiar with the One Great Works Network. How many of the speakers and panelists are from the network?
A considerable amount, but like the speakers I got from all sorts of different backgrounds. I mean, some straight up, it's like, hey man, I like your video. Would you like to be on my summit? Like, you know, like Man Against the State, for example, Graham Wright. Amazing guy, right? I love his videos. He puts out animations that get hundreds of thousands of views. I mean, you're talking millions online, talking about like an alien comes down to Earth and he asks, what is government? And the guy's like, well, it's these people and these buildings. And the alien's like, huh? You know, it's like really simple, like just like stupid, like really simple animations that make you really think. It's like, wow, it's really simple when you really break it down to that, like that basic elementary level. I reached out to him. I reached out to Realization as well, as another individual who is not on the network, who puts out fantastic stuff. I mean, look at his documentaries, look at his production value. I think this guy should have way more followers than he does. I mean, he puts time into.
He was the first one this today, right? He was the
second speaker. Yeah, I figured, you know, he's really good with the way he presents, very calm and very good with the way he speaks. And you can tell he's very apt for philosophy. It's basically his forte. But he knows about Mark and he knows about some of the speakers already. You know, Graham Wright, he didn't know much about like this community, but I reached out to him because it's like, hey, he still understands the same thing. And I've come across other people too. There's a guy with a blog out there called The Later Day Liberator. And if anybody knows about my newspaper project, it's called The Liberator 2. So this guy has already had a Liberator newspaper on his own website, basically. And guess what? I started reading the news, the page that he had, and it was voluntarist. It was all based on saying that government has connections with slavery. And he learned that information from the very same people that I quote and reference in my slavery book, the abolitionists from the 1800s. I'm like, wow, if somebody came to that conclusion on their own, and it wasn't just me, I know I'm on the right path. And really, I talked with this guy. He's a teacher. I mean, this guy has done so much. And the way he spoke, I'm like, holy moly. And no one knows about, you know, he's got this blog on some random part of the internet. He writes so beautifully. We're going to go into a partnership we're looking into for this newspaper. Don't hold my word to that, right? Obviously, there could be things that change. But I look forward to that. Like, even just if people look at his information, it's beautiful. Even if we don't have a partnership or whatever, which we probably will. his information is beautiful, right? So definitely recommend people checking it out. You know, and that's the thing, right? When it comes to content creation, another thing I wanted to mention that was on my notes is drama. And I know this sounds really weird, okay? But when you start creating content, when you start getting out there, you're going to come across some people. You might get some hate mail. You know, I have some different views on veganism from Mark Pascio. You know, he's very staunchly like, hey, you know, we need to apply human morality to animals. And I'm like, okay, I can understand that perspective, but there might be some problems with that. I see there's people who are having some health problems because of that. So I'm not going to stay silent about it. So, you know, I made my videos about that. And basically it's like, I don't disagree with Mark. It's just how we apply it. It's just how we apply the knowledge, you know, to some extent. And that requires some even more knowledge, or maybe we need to, you know, have some of that discussion, have some of that debate, so that way it opens up and creates a bigger picture. Like I said, that's how you innovate. You know, we can't just sit still on certain definitions, but I do recommend people have common sense. You know, it's like, oh, I don't like the way Mark defines this or that. Well, it's like, okay, I mean, but could you understand what he's trying to say? You know, it's like, because the guy has really simple intentions. You know, he's just like me. It's like, we just don't want violence. We just don't want slavery. That's it. Is that really like a hard demand? You know, so the way we portray it, I mean, this or that, I mean, guess what? There's hundreds of abolitionists and hundreds of people in the past who said the same thing as us in many, many different ways. So there's not one way of doing it. And because of that, you're going to have people who say, I think you should do it this way, or I think you should do, you be talking about this or that. Be prepared as a content creator to deal with people who feel like this, and be open to that, of course, right? And you want some dialogue, and you want to improve upon yourself if somebody is critiquing you. But just realize that drama can happen. And I dealt with that very much when I had my guild in World of Warcraft. So it sort of prepped me in leadership, since I had to deal with 3,000 people on the server, basically the biggest guild at the time. And it I had drama like every single day that I had to deal with. And I realized, and at first, because I was young and I was like a kid, and I was like, oh, drama. I actually kind of played into that. And I thought it was fun to some extent. And I realized once you start getting involved in the drama, you realize it's not fun. You know, it's like a war. It's like, oh, I like the idea of shooting people. And it's like, once you actually do, it's like, no, this is bloody. This is terrifying. This is horrible. It might be fun in the video game, but it's not fun in real life. You know, so it's like people got to be careful with the drama or inciting drama. And sometimes the best option is not to say anything. Not that you're lying, and it's not that, you know, you're allowing evil to manifest, but it's that you understand when to be silent and you understand when to speak. And this is, again, part of that practice that we ever evolve in with our knowledge.
Along those lines, I'm an avid hate watcher of Mr. Tim Pool. I don't miss anything that he puts out. I see dang near just about every single thing that he puts out, and I loathe so many of his positions and his argumentation and his absolute refusal to just acknowledge the fact that he advocates for slavery every single day. But and so, like, I've considered, you know, as you said, leeching with him, and basically it just be a "this is why he's wrong" type of channel, which, you know, because he's extremely influential. And if you're criticizing him and you're not, you know, Cenk Uygur, who's just screaming at the top of his lungs about why and making, you know, ad hominems and total like fallacious arguments, then I think a lot of the individuals that get brought to the concepts of liberty through Tim's show, because there is a lot of libertarian individuals on there. I mean, he won't really go for anybody who I think is consistently anarchistically, you know, and libertarian. I mean, Malice is pretty good.
Luke Radowski, as I say, on the right path too. I mean, he became way more questioning authority as time moves on. But I know, yeah, of course,
Luke's okay. I've got my own issues with Luke. I've known Luke for several years. Yeah, I met him in New Hampshire back in like the aughts, and I've got my own criticisms for Luke. But yeah, Luke is doing great stuff as well. Continue.
Well, I do want to say real quick, I just want to say along those lines, because you're right, and people are always going to have thoughts about it. I mean, people talk about Alex Jones, people start talking about all sorts of things. Yeah, you know, it's going to happen. But I think a good example of somebody who knows how to really help his and capture his audience is High Impact Flicks. Mm-hmm. He does a good job relatively. Like, if somebody criticizes him on something, he addresses it, and he addresses it in probably some of the best ways I've seen online, which is why I don't see a lot of people picking fights with him or wanting to. I mean, because he's very open. He shares his knowledge about everything. He's unafraid to talk about everything. And because of that, people see that authenticity. They start to see, it's like, wow, yeah, you know, he's pretty genuine. And that's why live streamers tend to be a bit more trustworthy than YouTubers or video makers, is because they're showing themselves to their audience. And basically, some live streamers are streaming like 6 to 12 hours a day, so they're showing like half of their life to their audience, you know. Sure. And basically, by the time like the audience is done, it's like they basically know the individual, or at least they get a sense of what that individual is. Whereas somebody on video might be completely fake and artificial, and you don't know if they're just putting on an image, right? So that's something to note as a content creator as well. If you want to connect with your audience, look into that. You know, is connecting with your audience through live streaming or through commenting, or finding a way to communicate and address what people want to hear addressed. Not that you have to appeal or pander to everybody's opinions, because that's gonna happen too, and you don't want that either. So it's all a matter of practice, right? And over time. But I've seen some really nasty scenarios online. To big creators, people who are completely innocent, millions of subscribers, some people I've defended on my channel for that reason, because I saw no one else was defending them when they would get tons of controversy online over some really things that I thought was not that bad. And maybe that's because I have a high tolerance, or maybe that's because I'm able to see things with from a bigger picture. But, you know, Sage, Okay Sage on YouTube, and then there's also Greek God X. I mean, these guys, they have controversies controversies, and to me it's like, I'm talking about slavery, I'm talking about some of the most controversial subjects. If somebody's going to defend these people in like the most pity controversies over words, it's gonna be me because I can see these people's intent. And it's like, there's loads of people, millions of people attacking them, saying you're this, you're that, and starting to accuse them of stuff. And it's like, do you realize how much stress that puts someone under? I don't care who you are as a content creator. I don't even care sometimes what you've done necessarily, like if it's a word or some things you've said. If anybody doesn't deserve getting attacked like some of these people do online, it puts them under tremendous stress. And then you know what ends up happening? Some of these celebrities, so-called celebrities or content creators, end up pandering to the audience or doing things that they don't want to do authentically from their heart. And then they end up putting on an image because they feel like they have to. And so it's like, honestly, the best thing to do is to address it. Don't run away from it. but also, at a certain point in time, you're going to realize, like, haters are going to hate, and they're always going to hate. The best thing to do is just be yourself. And if people don't like you, then they create their own content or they do their own thing. I mean, like, it's a voluntary space online. No one's coercing others to do anything, but yet people still want to go on Twitter and be like, oh my gosh, you're the worst human being in the world. Meanwhile, there's actually governments and people carrying out orders, creating violence upon others every single day, right? Like, directly to people. So it's like, while that's being ignored, you're fighting this one person in their basement with a camera and a microphone for saying some words. Like, it's like, I mean, goodness gracious. But this is the world we live in, right? It's a world where people attach themselves to celebrities, attach themselves to things, and attach themselves to identities. And it turns into a mess. So as a content creator, just learn how to navigate this. Don't have attachments. You might like this microphone, you might like this headset, you might like this keyboard, but know that it's your voice, it's you that delivers the message. You don't need these things to deliver the message. Those things are the product or the symptom of you and your voice and your purpose. What comes of your purpose, like I said before, will come naturally, so long as you follow that purpose to its end, and so far as you follow it wholly, like the Buddha said, you know, the two hardest things is starting and then going all the way. And that right there I think sums up the whole deal.
I love that.
No matter when they watch this video, they should definitely tune in and check it out, because it's going to be there forever, you know, always for people to check it out. Even like all the resources and action steps, there's always something to do. And if, in case anybody's ever confused or they're like, oh man, I missed day one, reach out to me, send me an email, you know, and get involved. I want people to get this knowledge for sure.
So last question, Alliance or Horde?
Alliance.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. I won't hold it against you.
Yeah, I know. All the Horde players are like, man, you have to be on my side. Otherwise, Alliance are obviously the good guys. Come on. Everybody knows that.
Well, Corey, thank you so much, man. Is there anything that you still want to tell the audience that you haven't gotten to?
No, but well, that is a World of Warcraft reference for people who don't know, because you just randomly asked the question. the game is basically going to be dead from now on to the rest of the future. Unfortunately, that's what I would have to say is, darn it, why can't that game be good? It's never going to be good again. You can't remake those experiences. But I will say the reason why the game was good and the reason why so many people had great experiences in it was because of freedom. The freedom to go wherever you want, the freedom to do whatever you want, and the freedom to speak to whoever you want and associate freely. That is the beauty of a video game. And it's funny to me because in real life, you know, it's like, that's the same thing people want for their happiness, for their creativity. They cannot be happy or creative without freedom in almost every single regards of their life. If they are not free in their health, because some disease is holding them, it's like they're not going to be happy, you know? And people say happiness is health. It's like, yeah, it's freedom too. People can't connect the dot to freedom. Freedom is the most important. And that's why I'm talking about slavery, because that right there is the complete antithesis of freedom.
EndSlaverySummit.org. Corey, nature is the answer on every platform, all of them, every single one of them. Find him on Mastodon, YouTube, Twitter, all the places.
Corey, as possible.
Thank you so much for joining us today, man. This has been a blast. I love your energy. I can definitely see that you're going to be doing amazing things and waking up a shit ton of people. Like,
thank you,
man. Your voice is going to be a huge voice for liberty and truth and freedom and natural law and evolution for many, many years to come. And I hope you have a whole brood of babies, like 35 of them. Like get started yesterday and pop out some more of yourself, man, because the world's going to need them. And I think you're doing great work, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. As with you, I'm putting this out. Thank you for inviting me.
It's been a pleasure, man. Remember, guys, question authority, refuse obedience. Peace.